Good morning. The first lesson is taken from Genesis chapter 9. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living thing that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the sky, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Here ends the lesson. The psalm is Psalm 25 and will be read responsively by verse. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting. Gracious and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in his way. All the paths of the Lord are love and faithfulness to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. The second lesson is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3. Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Here ends the second lesson.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This time the children's sermon. Oh, great. Good morning. I was going to sit in the middle. Can I sit here? Thank you. Oh, that's a good seat. Thanks. Almighty God, guide us in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So today is the first Sunday in Lent, and the color is purple, as you see. It'll be purple for 5 weeks now. So the color of purple reminds us of the theme of Lent, which is returning to God, turning to God. Repenting really means returning to God, and that's what our focus is in this Lenten season. 40 days of Lent, not counting Sundays, and Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. When I look at the bulletin cover, that's a great cover. Heather picked a good cover. What do you see there? Who do you think that is? Okay. It is. Yeah, it's Jesus. He is God. Truly God. Does he look what? Tired? Oh. He looks tired. Does he look upset? Yeah, I do think. Who else is in this picture? There's only four other things in the picture besides the hill. A goat. Birds. There he is being tempted. I like the picture. Tempted in the wilderness. I'm going to give you a matching sheet, which you'll take and work with this week. You'll have a lot of help, I'm sure. But the key people or the key parts of this picture and this lesson, that's what I want to talk about in a minute. So the wilderness. Yes, a question? Oh, no, a wave. I like you to wave. Please wave if anybody waves. The wilderness is, I have to look at my own, a place where people don't live. There would be wild animals, there wouldn't be stores, there might not be houses, there might not even be a road. In a wilderness, we might feel alone. Jesus goes to the wilderness. In the wilderness, he meets Satan, the tempter. And so Satan is the one who tempted Jesus and tempts us to turn basically away from God. In that wilderness with Satan, there are wild beasts. Wild beasts are animals that are not pets, like lions and bears and antelopes, deer, camel, ostrich. These are all animals that would have been in the land of Cana at that time. So, but they were there, and they weren't a threat to Jesus, although they were wild. Then we have the wild beasts. We have the angels then who come and help Jesus and minister to him after the temptation. The other lesson that's really important today is the end of the flood and Noah's Ark. When the flood ends, the ark lands on ground, and in that ark, all the people come out, Noah and his family. And remember, all the animals, both domesticated and wild, were in that ark too. Again, the importance of animals in our lives. I think you all know that. And so they come out, and God says, using a rainbow, I'll never destroy the earth with a all-encompassing flood. And the rainbow is that promise. So what we have today are two important lessons. I'm going to summarize them. You take this, so like Jesus, the answer cross isn't the right one. You're going to have to match it. I'm sure you'll have help with that, and I have them there. So the first lesson is, in our wilderness, Jesus is with us, and not to be worried or afraid. Secondly, the rainbow, a reminder again of God's grace and love upon us. And I'd certainly invite you to draw a rainbow on the back of this matching sheet. Maybe you'd want to draw some of the wild animals, so it could be a little exercise that would help you remember the first Sunday in Lent. Amen. Almighty God, you teach us of your love and grace. Pour your grace upon these children. Guide us as we seek to understand the gift of your grace and mercy, and as you guide us in moments of temptation. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much. And here they are. This is a sheet. Okay. Very good. Whoops, who did I step on? I'm sorry. Did that hurt? Those pretty shiny shoes. I don't want to put a scuff on them. Right. Do you have... That's... Nope. Yes, that's the sheet. Okay. Have fun with that. I think you'll have no trouble because we kind of went over all the all the people and animals and creatures that are important, and now there'll be Children's Church, I know. Very good. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words that are spoken and how we listen be guided by the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Gospel, that we indeed may find strength in those moments that are our wilderness experiences and depend on you to guide, strengthen, form, and lead us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Mark's account of Jesus' baptism, temptation, testing, and beginning of his ministry is swift, immediate, and direct. It's important in Mark's gospel. He uses the word immediate often or immediately. There is an urgency that Mark is proclaiming, the urgency of the coming of Jesus and his ministry to the whole world. At Jesus' baptism, the heavens are torn apart, just as the temple veil is torn in two at Jesus' death and crucifixion, both denoting a forceful tearing of the barrier between heaven and earth, a forceful tearing of the barrier between God and people. Here the heavenly voice addresses Jesus, making it not just a public teaching, but an affirmation that equips Jesus for the mission. You are my son, the beloved, God himself, the only one worthy of this mission. And only in Mark does the Spirit drive or move Jesus quickly into the wilderness again. There is an urgency in Mark's short gospel that this message of good news be released in all the earth. Jesus' temptation or testing in the wilderness serves a twofold purpose, which is to prepare him for the ministry and to identify him as Son of God, the Beloved. In Mark, the wild beasts with Jesus suggest Jesus' peaceful coexistence with untamed creation. The wild beasts with Jesus are not a threat, but I think a call to us to protect endangered species and to live in peaceful appreciation with all creatures and the whole creation. Again, those animals are not there by chance, but a proclamation of the peaceful coexistence of people and creatures in the garden. Whether we call Jesus' wilderness experience a temptation or a testing, it is easy to fall into that trap of seeing this episode as a measure of whether Jesus is good enough. Can he measure up? That is often how we experience temptations and tests. Are we good enough to withstand daily temptations during Lent, but really all year long? Are we good enough to pass an exam with a good score? Are we good enough to be on the team? Are we good enough to manage troubles without complaint? Are we doing enough good deeds to please God? Is Jesus good enough to resist and overcome what the tempter offers? The resounding answer is yes. Jesus resists and does overcome the tempter. Which leads to the question, if we resist temptation, then are we good enough to be loved by God? The answer to these good enough questions, and I hope you hear this, the answer to these good enough questions is no. The gospel is not, if we do good, then God loves us. The gospel is, because God loves us, we measure up. We are loved in spite of failure or shortcomings. We are loved as we are, and the good deeds we do are not to earn a thing, but they are in response to our love for God and for each other. So measuring up is not in the language of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You do measure up because God loves you, created you, guides you, is going to form you in faith till the door of death and beyond. The 40-day wilderness experience and temptation by Satan reveals Jesus is the one who is wholeheartedly, whole-mindedly aligned with the will of God the Creator. Jesus embodies the truth, the will, the love of God. Even though Jesus is fully human, experiences the troubles and temptations we experience. The will of God is in Jesus because Christ is God in human flesh and he lives without sin. God, deep in the flesh, is who Jesus is. And this is what he brings, proclaiming, living out, bringing near the will of God, the reign of God, so that we can say, on earth as in heaven. Not in only the Lord's Prayer, but in our mission as the body of Christ in the church, that we are working for what is on earth as in heaven. Big change for this place to reach that high. Well, that's the call. That's the baptismal covenant. That's what you are, and that's what we're doing. The lesson says Satan is the tempter. The tempter that seeks to lure us away from God by throwing obstacles, doubts, fears, failures, anger, judgment, scorekeeping, unkind deeds in our path. When I say scorekeeping, I don't mean at a wrestling match or a basketball game. I'm not talking about that kind of scorekeeping. I'm talking about the scorekeeping that we might keep. Like, gee, I did 10 good things and you did one. That scorekeeping is not ours to do. But the tempter would like us to get caught in that. Oh, the tempter would love it if we were just keeping score against each other about the things we like and don't like. It's easy. That's a weak way to live. That's just a weak way to live. In our wilderness, facing unkind deeds and hurtful words, unfair judgments, we respond with God's love and we seek reconciliation with each other and all people. Temptation and testing are not just about a far-removed wilderness, but rather about the wilderness here and now that our actions and the actions of others create. The wilderness now that you and I are in. In this presidential year, we are certainly a divided nation. We are not listening to each other. We are not talking to each other. We are not seeing each other. Rather, there seems to be a lot of yelling and shouting and threatening. Threats to get even and pay people back. Dividing us up into acceptable and not acceptable. Into friend or enemy. Into in or out. Into valued or less valued. Into passing or failing. Those things are not the vocabulary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those things are not the activities of the body of Christ in the world. With the death of Alexei Navalny in a Russian prison in the Arctic region, supposedly after a walk, the world lost an advocate for democracy, a person seeking justice and freedom and honorable treatment for all people. And he was, as you know, a critic of unjust dictators. Alexei Navalny was an anti-corruption activist and a strong supporter of democracy who led the opposition against Vladimir Putin's autocratic rules and Putin's desire to wipe out any sense of democracy. an advocate democracy, for democracy in Russia. And in our own country, it seems that many politicians would rather honor Putin than Navalny. And that's a dangerous reality. In this time, in this wilderness moment, because it really is, we are called to stop threatening each other. We are called to look at each other. We are called to listen deeply to God, and we are called to see each other and all that unites us as human beings created by God in the image of God, to love God and to love each other. That's why we're here. Finally, in Genesis 9, the conclusion of the flood story, although God promises that there will not be a flood that will wipe the whole world out, there have and probably still will be floods in the future. And instead of arks, there probably will be rescuers and first responders who will save many people in need. And we give thanks for those emergency responders and those who reach out to save others. We also must consider the fact that the unchecked burning of fossil fuels over the past years, deforestation, rapid urbanization, toxic waste, have increased the presence of atmospheric greenhouse gases. You know that. With the increase of flooding and other weather-related disasters, we can think of this climate situation as a call from God. Through Lutheran Disaster Response, we can make donations that go to those in need. And perhaps by using less and sharing more, we can help the whole garden of God. I keep saying it, and perhaps you're tired of me saying it, but at the shepherd's closet, that's what you're doing. You're using less, and you're giving more away that others in the garden could be warm and could be fed. As we face the effects of climate change, as we deal with systemic racism, as we seek to overcome all that divides us, we have a rainbow and a promise from God that again the earth will not be destroyed by an all-encompassing flood. But I think the rainbow is also a reminder of our responsibility to the work for the good of each other and all people. Jesus overcomes the tempter. Jesus comes out of the wilderness saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." That is our Lenten call. The rainbow and Jesus' temptation and overcoming the tempter in the wilderness call us out to us saying that in the waters of baptism, we are set free by God's love to enter every wilderness moment with the assurance that Christ goes before us and the Holy Spirit stirs and forms our faith, and the Creator has placed us here not by chance, but for purpose, to serve and rescue and reconcile all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with each of you. Amen.